Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Those of you hanging out with me this morning, we're going to continue in a teaching series called Five Keys of John. And I want to begin with a question that really that encapsulates the whole series. And that question is simply this, don't miss it. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus. That is really the central question we are asking and seeking to discover the answer to as we are on this journey. And as you look at the Gospel of John itself, that is really the central point, that is a central element, the theme that John is trying to answer. John tells us a little later in the book of John, he says in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, but these things, he's looking at all the stories and the works that he's told. He says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So in many ways today, friends, John is inviting his readers, he's inviting you and I on a journey to discover who Jesus is. And most importantly, in so doing, that we would find the life that he came to bring. That's what the Gospel of John and our series is all about. We live in a world and in a context for many of us where Jesus has a way of popping up around us all the time. In fact, I typically carry Jesus in my pocket as a reminder of his presence. Jesus is all around us. He will even occasionally pop up on a bumper sticker in the car in front of you. You might have ever seen this. I saw that. Here is another one that says, for that tailgater that's caught following you a little too close, do you follow me this close? You follow me this close. You see, the reality for many of us today, friends, is that we might see Jesus everywhere, but do we really know who he is? Do we know who he is? You don't have to answer out loud today, but how would you answer our central question, who is Jesus? How would you answer that today for your life? Maybe all of the mixed messages that come from toy figurines or bumper stickers, maybe mixed messages have come through people proclaiming his name and you're just not sure who Jesus is. Friend, if that's you today, you're in a safe place. Because our soul, what we're here for is to discover and to know Jesus more intimately. And so I would invite you to journey with us. Journey with us to discover who Jesus is. As we continue on our series and in that journey to discover Jesus today, we're going to be introduced to him as the resurrection and the life. John in his Gospels, he records the definitive words of Jesus when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am resurrection. I am the power to bring forth life from death. I am the life, the energizing, animating power and fullness that we exist in. And as Jesus makes this grand revelation of who he is, it comes to a sudden stop with one question. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the opportunity to hear this revelation afresh and anew. And Lord Jesus, I know that just as you orchestrated things in John 11, that your disciples, the followers there, they would get to see this opportunity of who you are. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that you have orchestrated the events of the lives of everyone in this room today to hear the revelation of who you are. And so, Lord Jesus, would you speak to us today that we too might stand and know you and be drawn into relationship with you today. Jesus, if we have a misconception or a misalignment about who you truly are, Lord, we want to have that corrected in our life today. We want to know you, Jesus, for who you are, the resurrection and the life. So come today, reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our teaching text today comes from John chapter 11. I'd invite you to turn with me there today. The text will be on the screen. There's a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user. And the story itself that we're going to dive into today takes up a whole chapter, but I want you to relax. We're not going to go into every detail of the chapter. We would miss our chicken and baptism later. But I would encourage you to go back this week after we sit in this space and in this word and go back and read this story in its entirety for yourself. So what we're going to do today is pull out specific verses on our way through, and you'll understand a little bit more why and what we're doing as we go. But our journey begins at verse 1 today of chapter 11. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." We start here because this verse sets the whole scene for us today. Everything we're going to talk about is within this scene that we just read. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, as we're introduced to them, are close friends of Jesus who live in a small village just a few miles away from Jerusalem. And what we see and what we're told is that Lazarus has become ill, and it's pretty serious. And so his sisters, Mary and Martha, they couldn't send Jesus a text, so they send word by a messenger to say, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus receives this news, he is seemingly unalarmed. He says in verse 4, "When he heard this," when he heard about his friends, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, I'm not sure if you have ever thought of your physical ailments as an opportunity for God's glory to be shown. But that's what Jesus is saying here. That what has come of Lazarus is about to be an opportunity for God's glory to be revealed to his disciples. These are unique words. If you know the rest of John 11, you need to really slow down and let's walk with the story, because this is a clue for us today that something different is going on here. Something different is going on. Jesus says that through this illness, through this sickness, God's glory is going to be revealed. Let's continue, verse 5. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." John pauses this narrative to make this point. He wants to say and to make sure we understand that Jesus loves them. Because what's about to happen next is going to seem like the opposite. Let's continue. "So when he," Jesus, "heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I told you, it would seem the opposite. Jesus waits 2 days before going to visit his friends. Can we just have a moment of honesty in the room today? A moment to admit that Jesus waiting doesn't always feel like loving, does it? Maybe some of you are in a season like that in your life today, where you've been praying, you've been seeking Jesus, you've been asking him to move, and it just seems like nothing is happening. You feel like Jesus is waiting for something. And in those moments, in the reality of our human experience and all that that brings, that waiting can feel like we are not loved, can it? Like we are forgotten. Friends, I think it's important that John made this point. He doubles down on it to make sure we see this powerful truth that just because Jesus is waiting doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's lost sight of you. John has made sure we see that detail, and I understand that might be one of the most critical things you hear today, is that even though it might seem like Jesus is waiting, you need to know he loves you. If you don't hear anything else today, hear that. He loves you. He loves you. Back in our text, Jesus' delay has a very specific purpose. He waits these 2 days so that, and there was a purpose clause there in the text, so that he would have the opportunity to reveal something to his disciples greater than even death itself. That's why he waits. In these moments, his disciples are confused about this plan like we might be today. In the next few verses in the narrative, they unpack this confusion back and forth between Jesus before he finally just lays it out plain for them in verse 14, and that's where we pick back up. So he, Jesus, told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that, purpose, so that you may believe. Let us go to him. And so we have first a 2-day delay, and now Jesus saying, I'm glad I wasn't there. And we need to be careful here because these words of Jesus could almost come across strange or out of character. For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. But we need to be careful to note he doesn't say he's glad Lazarus died. That's not what he says. He says, I am glad. I am glad in finding joy in this opportunity because my disciples will now have an opportunity to believe in him in a whole new way. That's why he's glad. They are about to know at another level entirely the answer to the question, who is Jesus? That's why he's glad. That's why he's glad. What Jesus is about to teach his disciples is that knowing him, knowing who he really is and the life he brings is the most important thing in their life, even greater than death itself. That's why he's glad. Let's continue in the story. Verse 17 says, on his arrival, so Jesus has traveled, he's waited and now made his way. It says, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. This note about 4 days should signal to us today that Lazarus is truly gone. There is no more hope for a misdiagnosis. It's over. Lazarus is dead. Verse 20 says, when Martha, Lazarus' sister, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Martha comes to Jesus bearing the weight of grief and sorrow, yet still having confidence in Jesus, that he can bring about something good even right here. We need to be careful not to read a harsh rebuke into her words. She is coming as we might, broken and feeling the pain of death, but yet trusting even still that Jesus is worth following anyway. That's how Martha approaches Jesus. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In these moments, I think Martha feels like she was handed a blue motorcycle. A nice platitude, something to console her grief, but not the real thing, a blue motorcycle. Maybe you've heard, I have a thing for boats. I like them. I think everybody ought to have one. But anyway, I like boats, but you might also know I like motorcycles too. I've wanted one for a number of years now. The thrill of the open road, every ride to work transform into fun. I mean, y'all motorcycles, y'all got that like hand wave thing you do. Man, I want to be cool like that. But there's just two things standing in my way of realizing that dream. my wife and my daughter. Because now they both say that I can't have one until Eliza turns 18. And if, in case you don't know her, that's quite a long time from now. So because I live with comedians, I think it was for my birthday last year, Father's Day, they got me a motorcycle. Like this. A nice gesture to remind me of the hope that is yet ahead. Hardly the thrilling experience I was hoping for. I can't even show it to you today because I'm pretty sure that in my disgust I shoved it into a donate box. But anyway, when Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again, Martha is thinking what she hears is that those are just words of comfort. That those are to hold her over until the final resurrection at the end of time. It's a nice reminder, but it's not the real thing right now. It's a fine hope, but it still hurts. It's a toy motorcycle. It's hope deferred for another day. But Jesus, in this moment, he doesn't allow this misunderstanding to hang very long. He is about to reach out and grab a hold of Martha and set her vision of who he is straight. And that's what happens next. Jesus says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. Who is Jesus? The resurrection and the life. What's happening here is that Jesus is inviting Martha to know him personally as the resurrection and the life. You see, she was holding a future hope of resurrection and life, and Jesus is saying, Martha, this is not hope deferred. This is hope in me. I am resurrection and life. I'm standing right in front of you, Martha. It's me, Jesus says. He is inviting her to take a deferred and future hope and see that in the person of Jesus. I am resurrection and life. It's me, Martha. It's me, he says. The future hope she once held is now embodied in the person standing right in front of her. It's Jesus. And notice here in the text, friends, he doesn't say, oh, I do resurrection or I do life. He says, I am. Jesus in his person is the resurrection. He is the power to overcome death, to bring hope in the darkness. He is the life, the vital essence and fullness of real eternal life in the here and now. And friends, this is a key understanding to know who is Jesus. And as we look at this narrative, this is the revelation that the whole story's been building to. My whole life, I feel like I've read this thing as just a runway to get to the resurrection of Lazarus. Friends, this revelation of Jesus is the whole point. That's why Jesus has orchestrated all of these events. That's why he waited. That's why he's glad, is to look Martha in the eye and say, I am the resurrection and the life. Poor Lazarus is just the proof of this claim. This is the point of the story, friends. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And as this narrative has been building up steam, as it's come barreling down the road, if you will, it hangs on the very edge of one question at the word of Jesus. Do you believe this? Do you today believe this? This revelation of who Jesus is. Friends, as we're on this journey together to discover who Jesus is and the life he came to bring, we too got to stop right here and answer this question for ourselves. Do you believe this? Do you know Jesus? Not about him, that's good. Do you know him in relationship and intimacy? How are you experiencing his resurrection power in your life? Because the Bible says we're all dead in sin, that the truest essence of who we are needs resurrecting. Do you know him? Do you know his life lived within you, that it's coming out of you and you're expressing that eternal life, and it looks like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, gentleness and self-control? You see, friends, I think we sometimes have a habit of falling into thinking that Jesus is only important for when we die, that we show up to church, we give a little money, we do these things, hoping that one day I'll get to go to heaven with him. Friends, that is a tragic misunderstanding of who the person of Jesus is. Because he's saying, I am hope and resurrection now, today. Not hope deferred. We have hope for the future in Jesus. But what he came to offer you and I is life now. You today can pass from death to life in the person of Jesus. That's what this is all about. It's not hope deferred. It's today. What a tragic misunderstanding to think it's only about when we die. We miss who Jesus is. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Friends, this is Jesus. This is the revelation that he wanted us to see today, for you to hear. Do you believe? What happens next in our teaching is arguably one of the greatest miracles Jesus ever performed while he was here on earth. But it's more than a great miracle. It's the proof. It's the proof. Let's watch.
Take away the stone.
He said, take away the stone.
Was I unclear?
Lord, by this time there will be an odor. He's been dead for 4 days.
Martha, surely you know that is a minor matter. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? Your only priority in this moment is faith. I say to you again, remove the stone. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus! Come out!
Thank you.
come out of those wrappings.
Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. A claim like that could have been misunderstood, could have been laughed at. Be like me saying, yeah, I can run a 4-minute mile. Prove it. Can't hardly drive a 4-minute mile in these parts of the county, 33. But you see, there's a difference. When Jesus says, I am, he is. He is. The resurrection of Lazarus here is the proof of Jesus' claim. And friends, as we read this story from our seats today, we not only see the story of Lazarus and the proof that that provides, we see Jesus himself, Good Friday, dying on the cross for our sins and buried in the tomb and raised to life on Resurrection Sunday. Friends, we today have more proof than Mary and Martha did. We have the resurrection and the life of Easter. He is who he says he is. He is the power to overcome sin, death, and hell. He brings eternal life to those who will believe in him. And this is not hope deferred. This is hope today. It's growing in his likeness. Friends, that's what it is to come to know Jesus and believe in him and find the life that he came to bring. And it hinges on a question. Do you believe this? What's stopping you today? What's stopping you from experiencing the life that Jesus came to bring? The power that he is. What's stopping you? Think about this, friends. Jesus, in his love for you, has conquered death to bring you life. If he has conquered death, what can be in your life that he can't overcome? Friends, there's nothing. And I say that with love and compassion today. It's an invitation to freedom. Friends, as we understand the person and the power of Jesus, there's nothing he can't overcome in your life. Not the sins of your past, the regrets that haunt you. They're powerless. They're finished and defeated in the person of Jesus. There's not this nagging feeling of trying to be a better person. Friends, it's over. It's not about our trying. It's about our trusting in the person of Jesus. That's the life and the power that he came to bring. So what's holding you back? What's keeping you from experiencing Jesus for who he is, the resurrection and the life? Do you know him? Do you believe this? The band's coming. They're going to lead us in a response today. I want to share one more verse out of this chapter with you. Because really, the answer to the question, if you want to take that step of faith, is to follow in Martha's footsteps. Because Jesus asks her, do you believe this? And she responds in verse 27 and says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Do you believe? Maybe you're here today and you don't know who Jesus is. Maybe you don't know him in his person as the power to bring life and forgiveness and fullness into your story. Maybe you've never asked him to forgive you. Maybe you've never asked him to be Lord of your life. Friend, today, the invitation to follow in Martha's footsteps that we are presented with today is to invite him. To say, yes, Lord, I believe. To seek forgiveness and wholeness in him. And friends, this is not just about hope deferred for when we die. This is about hope for today. I mean, if the Lord tarries and I wake up tomorrow morning and it's Monday morning, I'm going to be looking for some hope. Aren't you? Aren't you? Would you invite him today to be Lord of your life? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the one. Maybe you're here today and you're a little bit like me, and this has been a reminder of who Jesus is. That this is not just about then, this is about life now. And that the central focus of this whole narrative is to understand Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. And so today, maybe, friends, you thought this whole going to church thing, this whole thing was just about having some type of assurance for the unknown on the other side of death. And maybe you thought that's what this whole thing was about, that's all you've been given, that's all you've been singing about, was just so that, oh, one day I'm going to have confidence after I die. Friends, the invitation that is before us today is that we would know him in his person, the person of Jesus, today in the here and now, the living, resurrected hope of Christ Jesus alive within us. And friends, we all have life to live. We've got to get the grave clothes off like Lazarus did. We're going to learn together what it's like to live the life he gives us. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing as the church. We're trying to figure this thing out together because Jesus has put his life within us and his spirit's within us, empowering us to live differently. And so maybe today for you, it's to say, Lord, I've missed it. And friends, if we only think it's about then, it's a tragic misunderstanding of who Jesus is. Because he says to you and to me today, I am the resurrection and the life. Know me now. Know me now. There's one more thread, and some of you are like, good night, how many points does this preacher have? Just one more. It's Baptism Sunday. We've been hammering away at that thing for months, right? Something I can't get away from in this text. So Lazarus, Jesus gives his words, I am the resurrection and the life. The proof in a couple minutes comes in Lazarus. The proof in several days comes in his person, in his death, and his resurrection. And friends, as we head over here to the river in just a couple minutes, we are stepping in line to this truth in that we are embodying the truth of resurrection and life. That's what the water's all about. We are saying in a tangible way that yes, we have transacted with the living Son of God through faith by his grace, and we are experiencing that resurrection life. And so when we go down in that water, or it's poured over our head, or it's sprinkled over our head, we're identifying with that death. And as we come back out, we're saying, I am alive in the resurrection because of Christ. I now have life to live. Friends, there is a single thread of grace from Jesus' words in John 11 to Riverside Park at the end of M Street in a couple more minutes. And so if you are here today and you've been baptized before, maybe you took a detour away from Jesus and you've come back. You've never been baptized before, but you're saying, I want in. I want to be a part of this resurrection life and I want to go public with my faith. That's what we're getting ready to do. And so I'm going to give you one more chance. We may have never met before, and it's okay. But if you want to be baptized today, if you want to step in the stream, no pun intended, if you want to step in the stream of grace that God is offering us here in this truth, won't you be baptized? Go home real quick, grab a change of clothes or a towel, and come. Don't delay. That's what this is all about. There's going to be some Lazarus celebration stories over here. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Would you stand with me? Pastor Terry's in the back. I'm going to stay up here up front. If you have questions about this, if you want to be baptized today, would you just come talk to one of us? Let's just have a conversation as we go to the river. Do you believe this truth today? Something I have not been able to get away from this week. You look at some of these details of Jesus, he waits, he seemingly has a whole different vision for what's happening. Jesus orchestrated a lot of events to reveal one central truth about who he was in our story. And friends, what I can't get away from in this moment is that Jesus has orchestrated a whole lot of events in your life that you would be here to hear this revelation of who Jesus is. And he asks you, son, daughter, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. And Jesus, you're not just talking about a blue motorcycle for years to come. You're talking about a lived experience reality today. And Lord, that's what we want in on. That's what we want in on. To know not just about you, but to know you in personal saving relationship. Somebody's getting the glory back there. You see, that's what happens when Jesus is revealed. He says, if I be lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Friends, we're just in the flow of that drawing today. And Lord Jesus, we're asking to know you, the resurrection and the life today. Lord, would you show us, if we've had a misunderstanding, if we've been living this whole thing like it was all about later and we've missed you in the here and now, would you forgive us? Forgive me, Lord. We want to know you. Hope today. Alive within us. Lord, you've orchestrated a lot of circumstances to fill this room again today. We simply say, thy will be done. We look forward to celebrating baptism in just a few minutes. Lord Jesus, will you meet us there too? As we step into the flow, the stream of grace that you came to announce. I am the resurrection and the life. Moments of seeking. Moments of seeking as we worship. You're welcome to come and talk to myself or Pastor Terry today. We're here for you as we worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.